Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to the Good Morning Show. Oliver O.T. Thomas, man, I love my listening audience, guys. And let me tell you just how important you guys are, man. It's very informed, very engaged, and very versatile. But that also tells me, you know, just how sharp the people in this community are and how even more engaged they ought to be. Great question, Mr. Lawrence, Oyella, Mark, everyone who called in. And great point, Roger, that you made about conditioning, especially social conditioning. There's so much that happens subliminally, especially in the minds of African Americans, where we operate in many cases against our own best interests because that's what we've been taught. But guess what? Not these ladies in the studio today. They're the keepers. Carol is, first of all, is the keeper, one of the great keepers of our history here in this country. Doc, not only just the Amistad Research Center, but all of the powerful information that's been locked away and locked up. She does whatever she can to release an entire community. And she's released Miss Bernice McFadden and Miss Alexis DeVoe. Well, now I know the McFadden family at the Night Ward. I don't know if that's the same McFadden family or not. But you know, I'm from New Orleans,
right,
Doc.
Right.
You know,
we
be knowing who people are. You know, that's the first conversation.
Who's family?
The conversation you and I had.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, bro.
Totally,
I know who
totally.
You people are. You know? So, Miss McFadden and Miss Alexis DeVoe. Conversations in Color, Black Women Writers, the Reimagination of American Culture. Doc, talk about this, man. This is absolutely wonderful.
Oh, yeah. This is like one of my – well, first of all, this is the fifth installment of Conversations
right.
in Color. And thank you so much for having us on again.
Absolutely.
Be able to speak to the community. We really appreciate that. This is one of the best conversations I think that we have had thus far. We will have tonight. This conversation and both Dr. DeVoe and Ms. McFadden will share this information with you. But it was based actually on a course I took with Alexis and changed me completely. And what really did was expose
one course,
me.
Doc?
One course. She whipped me in the shape. And if I'm telling you, she whipped me in the shape. She got me straight real quick.
Hold on. That's usually what you do.
Exactly. So you know,
right?
You know how we talk.
Yes.
So if I'm saying she got me straight real quick, she got me straight real quick, right?
As my auntie would say, I be believing you.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. And so with the course, though, you know, usually when we're reading literature, we really work with people or we learn about people in the canon. So, you know, we know Alice Walker. You know, we know Toni Morrison.
Right.
This class gave me the opportunity to explore writers I've never even heard about. But work was so incredibly important on a granular level in terms of my life and thinking as a Black woman how I'm navigating this world, you know, and how the impact of Black women's writing in terms of changing how we think in America is so incredibly important. And usually sometimes it gets eclipsed by other writers, definitely predominantly male writers. And so that level of exposure, I mean,
that's all there were. Everybody, James Baldwin.
Exactly. You know, Richard Wright. Baldwin. You know,
it's like Black History, Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King. It's the boys' club, right?
Malcolm X.
It's the boys' club. And so, right, you know, how many times do you hear about Fannie Lou Hamer?
Absolutely.
You know, and really talking about this work and how important this work is. And so I just had an opportunity, you know, it's International Women's Month. I said, now I really want to bring some realness to this conversation.
Right.
And, I mean, two really wonderful, critical and imaginative writers. You couldn't have a better conversation tonight.
I want to talk about this, especially the woman who got Kara Olich straight, right? Especially knowing her lineage, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Straight gutter activist, you know, non-conforming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I know
yeah,
her people,
yeah.
Right? but it's got to be talk about in both of you guys, you know, the age of the internet and social media and the access to information, Dr. DeVoe and Ms. McFadden. It's you know without it, in many cases, much of this we wouldn't be celebrating right now. And talking to the mic, Dr. McFadden.
I don't know that we
especially not at the level that we are. You know, because I've learned so much in the last couple of years. that I had no idea, especially in terms of major contributions mm-hmm, from African American mm-hmm, women mm-hmm, and those that have mm-hmm, been out there in the obscure in history purgatory mm-hmm, for years.
Mm-hmm. I think some of those technologies are really important. Okay. I think social media is definitely important, and it is now and will be something that we can't do without. But the actuality of books and the actualities of literature are equally, if not more, important. Because you get, with a book, you get the entire imagination of the work. Often with social media, you'll get clips, you know, pieces of this and pieces of that. And so we need to string together for readers of any age group. We need to string together for readers the traditions that black women writers come out of, the historical realities that we are imagining and reclaiming, the ways in which those realities meet with contemporary realities or marry contemporary realities.
Doc, I heard what you said. Mm-hmm. You know, the words, mm-hmm, you know, I kind of hold the words of pop. You said reclaiming.
Yes.
Yeah. Explain that, please.
Well, you know, we have a culture that dismisses and throws away everything. Everything is recyclable in some way and doesn't necessarily have roots. So, and that's one of the disadvantages, I think, of social media. I'm not someone who's against social media, right, but it doesn't teach us that we're rooted in mm-hmm, kinds of ways. So, for example, we can look at trees and not understand that trees are rooted. They connect with each other underground.
There's a massive network.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And so this is what I think that black women's literature also does. It promotes the notion that underneath the text are these rooted knowledges that you have to get to. You get to them by reading the text. You don't get to them just by your clip notes.
And for Ms. McFadden, Arthur McFadden, I want to know, nowhere is a place. That's like nowhere is a place. That's
yep,
kind of deep, right? It's like, so talk about where that came from.
So Nowhere is a Place is actually based on my maternal family history. And I was quite interested in following the lineage from slavery straight into the present day. Mm-hmm. And what fascinated me about the research that I stumbled across was that Native Americans were also enslaved. And that's mm-hmm, where that story started. And so that's how that story came
okay,
to be.
So Nowhere is actually a place.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm,
so talk about what's been revealed to you and control and reclaiming. I think Dr. DeVoe's part about, we see much of the history, much of the narrative, and much of the conversation. And one of our guests here does a segment 504. He talks about narrative bias mm-hmm, and how who's telling the story okay, and the information associated
that's,
with it.
That's
and,
right,
and I agree with you. I hadn't looked at it like that before. Mm-hmm. Is that a lot of what we're given is surface?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Even right, with access to a lot of information today, not the roots that accompany it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, I think another thing that I found interesting in researching, not just Nowhere is a Place, but a number mm-hmm, of my novels, mm-hmm, is that the ways in which a lot of the organizations now, these companies now, who are making millions upon millions of dollars, how they got their start during slavery. Mm-hmm. J.P. Morgan, Brooks Brothers, Metropolitan Life Insurance mm-hmm, Company. And in Nowhere is a Place, I talk about one of the characters who, after emancipation, Metropolitan Life comes around and they start selling insurance policies
jeez,
to these former enslaved people.
Right.
But then when the people passed away, they refused to pay them the death benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And so people, like, I was shocked to learn about
real
that,
talk,
although it's still kind of going on
still,
now. Right.
Still. Gosh, we're in the studio with Dr. Carol Olish, no stranger to the Good Morning Show. Been two wonderful ladies of ink, Ms. Bernice McFadden, author, 2017 NAACP Image Award winner for Outstanding Literary Work in Fiction, and Ms. Dr. Alexis DeVoe, the 2015 Lambda Literary Award for fiction. Carol Olish, you know, you've kind of dedicated your life to what Dr. DeVoe says in reclaiming,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know, how important is, and I love the fact that we're putting emphasis on books again, because you're right, so much was in mm-hmm, social media,
mm-hmm,
so much was on the internet. Not only is it alternative facts, you never
oh my God,
you never get
mm-hmm,
you never get to the facts.
Get knowledge.
Ain't, ain't
right.
Nothing like a good factual book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's right. I think, you know, particularly for Amistad, like not only do we, you know, have the book, mm-hmm. but we work to understand the context in which that person wrote that book, you know, what their life was like. And that's why it's so important, I think, when we have these conversations and when we're talking to people, people not only come away, like, people have read these books, mm-hmm. all right, but now they get a chance to understand the authors, the context in which they're writing, some aspects of the interior, because we had that conversation about how much of an artist's interior should they, you know, expose. But I think it's really healthy. And then the wonderful thing at Amistad is we get to preserve that. So, you know, we have the letters and the manuscripts and the edits, mm-hmm. you know, of all, and you see the whole process unfold. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, I think, is what's exciting tonight, because there is the rootedness, and then there's just the technical aspect mm-hmm. of the brilliance of writing a literary work, which I think people have questions about as well tonight.
Dr. Duvall, I want to ask you what I think is a controversial subject or topic is the challenge of being an African-American female. Mm-hmm. We talked about the dominance at every level, even mm-hmm. within our community, mm-hmm. and especially not only reclaiming history, but educating people mm-hmm. and finding and fighting for your space. Mm-hmm. How difficult was that mm-hmm. then? And how difficult is it now?
When I began writing, there were not very many black women who were identified as writers. I remember Lorraine Hansberry.
Because you don't look like you go all the way back to 1970s. You look like I was going to ask you.
Talk about preservation.
I was going to ask you. You look good.
Thank you. And we all should look good. Yeah. You know, we shouldn't assume that age means that we can't look good.
Yes.
So when I began as a young person writing, the only black woman writer that I knew of at the time was Lorraine Hansberry. Mm-hmm. I was 11 years old. In 1959, her play, Raisin in the Sun, you know, burst upon the Broadway scene in New York City. She died shortly thereafter that. Mm-hmm. She was 34 years old when she passed away. I was still quite young. So I understood that if that was something that I wanted to be, I had to dedicate myself to it. And I was raised, if you will, as an emerging writer by other writers. People like June Jordan, mm-hmm. Alice Walker, Toni mm-hmm. Morrison, Tony K. Bambara, Paul Marshall, Sonia Sanchez. These were people who came into my scope, if you will, and helped me to see that it was possible to create the kind of life that I wanted to create as a writer. So I think, and then my dedication was to make sure that I was inserting black female characters into the narratives of American history and also into the narratives of African-American literature. Mm-hmm. And that is my, that was and remains my mission. So I think one of the things I'm hoping to do is to be able to model for writers who are coming after me, particularly black girls who are coming after mm-hmm. me, to see that it's possible.
Right.
It's not only possible, but it's something that they could have. They could live their mm-hmm. lives as black women and also write.
I want to piggyback mm-hmm. my question to you, Ms. McFadden. You also talked about writing is fine. The depth mm-hmm. of whatever your subject is fine. But knowing how to and knowing the technical aspects of it is important. Ms. McFadden, everybody, as all, everybody got a book. These days,
yeah.
I read the best two-page book that I ever read. But everybody got a book these days. Mm-hmm. That's fine, but let's talk about writing and those technical aspects, mm-hmm. and how important is what Dr. Olid said about understanding those aspects of it too.
I think it's fairly important, and I also believe that not everyone who has a story should publish that story.
I wasn't going to say
right.
that.
Right, right. Although they feel that way. But far be it from me to squash anyone's dream. I think that I do want to say something. I want to piggyback mm-hmm. off of what Alexis said about when you were coming up. So it was Lorraine Hansberry. Mm-hmm. For me, I was a big reader from like the age of five. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that we had black writers mm-hmm. until I was 18.
Wow.
17, 18. And the first book I read mm-hmm. by a black writer was The Color Purple by Alice Walker, right. And it changed my life. I was I know everybody in this book. These mm-hmm. are my aunties. These are my uncles. Right. These are the stories I've heard. And I think reading that gave me permission to write. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so how important was it to really learn how to write? I mean, because I do. I see, and I've read some books with some good stories that technically, if they had been done written well, if they'd been with someone who could teach them how to write, it would have made a much better impact. Is that important if you have a powerful story or message?
Okay, so I don't necessarily believe that you can teach someone how to write or teach someone how to write creatively, and I teach creative writing.
Comma when you pause, period at the end. Exclamation point if I'm excited.
Right.
Huh.
I think you can inspire and evoke and invoke. I think we can do that, but I don't know that you can actually teach somehow how to be creative. I think that you have it inside of you. You either have it or you don't have it. And Gloria Naylor said when she would teach, she'd walk in the classroom and she'd say, I can't put in you what God left out of you.
Right. So, Dr. DeVoe, what about those people who say, just write?
I think you should just write, but I think you should write from an historical perspective. By that I mean, once upon a time, it was a crime for black people to learn how to read and write. And if you were a slave, quote unquote, and you were caught reading, let alone writing, you would be killed for that.
You're reading my mind, you know, and I didn't, you know, I wasn't going to say because I don't like to offend people, but I think there should be some substance there. I really do. And I'm glad that you said that because, every society has room for fluff, things that are nice. But I see so many that have attempted to write about meaningful stuff that are not given it the depth or the roots that it deserves.
That's right. I agree with that. And I totally agree with that. I mean, I think, and when I say, especially for Alexis, coming to her course as a graduate student, I learned the importance about historical context, like really doing your research. Mm-hmm. What is, for someone, because I really heavily write historical, kind of like these treatments, analysis of work. Mm-hmm. But it is a discipline. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the thing for me when I see people who talk to me about their work, I'm always curious about the discipline. Mm-hmm. Like I always say, it's for me, it's kind of painful to write because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of revisions. Yeah. It's a lot of things through. It's a little bit different. And also you have to know your genres. Mm-hmm. Like I think Renisha Wright about creative writing. You know, you can't teach a person creative writing. What comes, what they're thinking about comes, fills that page. But also, you can't have someone creatively writing about something. I mean, even if I could go to someone who's in a canon like Toni Morrison, like writing Beloved, there's a whole lot of research behind that book.
That's right.
Let's talk about women of color. We're in a better space now, Dr. DeVoe, Ms. McFadden. Some of the same challenges there.
I do think that some of the same challenges are there because I do think black women writers, black diasporic women writers, women of color still face the same realities in terms of being published, in terms of getting the big awards, in terms of getting the kind of publicity, in terms of getting readerships. I don't really think you can look at the moment and say things have changed, but you can also look at the moment and say, no, things have not changed. Mm-hmm. We still have people who don't understand that black women writers work. Mm-hmm. That writing, as Karis pointed out, is work. We do work when we write, and that's a form of labor. So that labor becomes part of the ways in which women's labors, the things that we labor at, don't get the kind of credit that we deserve.
Ms. McFadden, I like the part of this. It says reimagination of American culture. What does that mean to you?
I think it's what I do every day. I take information that I've researched, and I have to now reimagine and put that on the page. And I just want to correct something because I used an incorrect word. I misspoke, and pardon me. I meant to say provoke.
Provoke.
Yes, in any case, that's what I do on a daily basis.
There you go,
basis.
Getting technical.
Yeah. I don't know, like, she's a writer. What word is she? Yes, and that's what I teach my students to do. Mm-hmm. You take this information, and now it's yours. And how then are you going to express yourself on the page of what you have? So that's all about reimagining.
You know, as a kid, Doc, you know, writing helped me understand stuff. Helped me understand why my neighborhood was poor, mm-hmm. or tried to. Mm-hmm. You know, why maybe some aspects of the family was dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. Why life was different for me. That still holds true today for many folk who write. It's really not about, it's eventually about the reader, but much of it is about us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that we have multiple technologies of healing, mm-hmm. as Black people, people of color, and writing is one of those technologies. It allows us, as we've been saying, to make the historical connections. It allows us to not think of ourselves as exceptional, like, mm-hmm. I'm the only one that's poor, or I'm the only one that can't read, or I'm the only one whose mama has issues. But being able to create our narratives, we're able to make spaces for other people to see themselves in those narratives.
Wow. 504-260-9265. I've been so caught up in the conversation because I do believe that the authors and the writers and the creators and the artists, a part of how we figure this stuff out. We got a few minutes left, guys, if you want to call or talk to Dr. Kara Olage, Dr. DuVoe, and Ms. McFadden, about what is the Conversations in Color, Black Women Writers and the Reimagination of American Culture. Given today's international and national climate, I don't know. Probably can't have not more a more important topic of
exactly.
reimagining.
Exactly. Don't we need it?
Yeah.
Don't we need it? I mean, I think that's the important thing. I mean, when people talk, and I think that's the great thing about when we're in challenging times like we are today, it's the it opens up these possibilities to mm-hmm. us address these issues.
Right.
So this is the best time and the best moment to have this conversation. And historically, I just want to put it on record, Black women have been leading mm-hmm. these conversations mm-hmm. and pushing a lot of these issues.
Yeah.
And so deservedly so. Yes, we come in honor to celebrate and to roll up our sleeves and do the good work of having this conversation tonight.
Dr. DuVoe, I'm going to take you to something my mother said, you know, because mm-hmm. I loved it when you talked about the importance of all of that other stuff is fine, but mm-hmm. good book, reading, mm-hmm. that discipline cannot mm-hmm. be forgotten. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget what my mom told me, little Ninth Ward boy, you know, I was talking about why can't we go to Africa? Why we can't? She said, you can. Mm-hmm. She said, go get that book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She said, you can go there now.
Right.
No, I can't afford to bring you, but it doesn't mean you can't go.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. See, your mother was encouraging your imagination.
Yes.
And we have to do that for each other as Black diasporic people. We have to know the power of the imagination, and we have to know that it's a useful tool of resistance.
Wow, good point. We go to the lines right now. Line one, Brother Sekou, you're on with Dr. DuVoe, Ms. McFadden, and Dr. Olage.
Good morning, everybody. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation.
No doubt.
And I see that one thing about intelligent Black women, how they educated, how they politically conscious, they're so sexy.
No
y'all.
Doubt. Ain't no doubt.
Experience our people. Great.
No
great
doubt
conversation.
About it.
I'd like to ask a question.
Yes.
I'm sure all of you have read this work or aware of it. We Are Your Sisters. Was that written by, I had the book in my hand. I read it a decade or so ago. And I got a bad habit of giving books away. And We Are Your Sisters. It's a historical perspective on Black women in America.
Mm-hmm. I read that many, many eons ago.
Yeah.
And I can't
I always recommend that book to young Black women to get a grasp of what it is to be a Black American female in America. And, you know, y'all touched on the important writers that one of the...
By Dorothy Sterling?
Yes.
Some of the important people, Jurnee Hirsch and people like that.
Yeah.
And I have sat in the classroom with young brothers and sisters from West Coast to East Coast and the South, and a lot of them don't have a grasp of the of our experience, and it's very scary when I hear it in the classroom. We've been in English class or literature class, and many of them never come came across these writers. It's all reflective of what us as adults, our elders, not teaching the young how to go about understand the experience. And y'all doing a great job of what y'all about in terms of writers. I'm going to get out the way because Lisa, I'm talking too long. just keep on doing what y'all are doing and get the people up and provoke and illuminate the people. Thank you very
much. Thank you, brother.
Lee says, I talk too long sometimes too. Shut up and let our guests talk. Yes, Mr. Lee. Yes. Yeah. Line two, Brother Carl, you're on with our panel.
Oh, good morning. You have a great guest up panel. I, too, am a clinical social worker. I know writing is cathartic, and I think y'all have made this world of insanity sane through your writing.
No doubt.
I've had to go to a lot of y'all writings in my clinical work to make sense out of this trauma that we've experienced here in America.
Well, thank you, Carl. That's a good point. Dr. DeVoe, Ms. McFadden, using those clinical and behavior specialists like Carl have actually used historical writings for people to heal. I've never thought about it from that position.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that for me, writing is certainly healing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always honored when I receive an email from a reader who says basically they read the book and it helped them to heal, or they read the book and it was as if I was sitting outside their window watching their lives. So that goes back to people believing that they're in unique situations when they actually aren't.
Dr. DeVoe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's
therapy.
Like
therapy.
Yeah, Kara said earlier, the course changed her life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what books can do. Books can not just heal you, but open you in ways that you can examine those wounds, that you can think about what does racism do to you? What does it do to the body? What does it do to your psyche? What does it mean to have lived X amount of years in this culture and still know you will probably leave this culture, die, and the culture will still be racist? It'll still be sexist. It'll still be homophobic. Because these wounds take a long time for us to get gone.
Wow, Dr. Carol is a subject that, you see, my listening audience, it started warming up at the end, but they know a great topic and great people when we have them on. When, where, and how can we support these great writers?
Thank you. So tonight we'll be at Ashe Cultural Center. We will be there with the Conversation Colors. It starts at, you want to get there like 6. But it's going to run 6:30 to 8 p.m. There will be a book signing afterwards, so it'll be a great opportunity to meet the both Dr. Vo and Ms. McFadden. And also join us also Friday on March 17th at Tulane for another talk, Toward Intellectual History of Black Women. And that's taking place at 7 p.m. More information on our website.
Well, this may be Black History. Last month was Black History Month. This may be Women's Month, but we appreciate you guys for a lifetime. We really do.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Dr. DeVoe and Ms. McFadden. Ms. McFadden from the NAWO. She looked like a NAWO McFadden. Got that New Orleans bricky kind of look. Who your people is, baby. And Doc, Bobby Green, and Ms. Elsie.
We never have enough time.
Appreciate you. Yeah. This is OT and the Early Bird, man. Coming up, Eileen, the great Eileen, one of the great personalities and radio personalities in this town. Eileen Carter, Small Business Services, after the break.